There is this thing.
Do you realize
what is there is this thing?
Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing
on.
There is this thing going on.
Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Welcome to the Friday edition of CKUT's Community News Program, Off the Hour. Today is July 16th. My name is Brian Jefferson, and I will be your host today. CKUT broadcasts from the unceded traditional territory of the Anishinaabeg and the Kanyenkehaga, one of the founding nations of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
For
cauliflower,
confusion, creation,
pickle, K for
kitten,
cam,
seat, wait, fan, roof, seat, U, unbearable,
U is for underground,
oh, yeah,
umbrella,
T, trite,
tremendous,
torment,
tire,
C, K,
I can't think of a U one,
T,
F is for famous,
fun, fumble, M is for Montreal.
But first, news. Montreal's pandemic restrictions continue to ease as Quebec reopens the province. As of Monday, the physical distance requirement between people from different households is reduced to just 1 meter, even while indoors. The province also didn't report a single COVID-related death in the 7 days on Monday. There were also no COVID-related deaths in the last 24 hours. Despite reopening plans, Quebec doctors sent an open letter to the provincial health officials this week. They say that the burden on healthcare is getting worse. And Montrealers can now record their police stops through a new interactive map. It's part of a website called stopmtl.ca. The researchers and community organizers who created the website want to collect data on how many people are stopped, who they are, and where they are. It is now one of two apps designed for Montrealers to record police encounters. The other is Bon Cop, Bad Cop. This comes at a time when Montrealer Mamadi Camara is suing the city and Quebec's Attorney General for his wrongful arrest and detention in January of 2021. Camara was falsely accused of assault and attempting to murder a controversial SPVM officer in Park Extension. Camara's lawyer says that his treatment was a case of racial profiling. StopMTL.ca, the Bon Cop Bad Cop app, and Camara hope that police encounters with Black Montrealers and other communities begin to improve. And the city of Montreal dismantled another encampment of 10 people on Tuesday morning. It was at a lot owned by the Provincial Transport Ministry on the corner of Notre Dame and d'Iberville. You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM.
It takes a good dose of courage and perseverance to get through a pandemic.
True, but it also takes a good dose of patience, resilience, confidence, optimism, humor, and love. Not to mention a dose of determination, endurance, empathy, motivation, hope, and ingenuity.
But above all, it takes a second dose of vaccine.
A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
This is CKUT's Friday Off the Hour. The time is just after 5 p.m. My name is Brian Jefferson, and up first on this episode of Off the Hour...
Hi, I'm Sarah Jesmer. I'm part of the Friday Off the Hour team. The Euro Cup, the Stanley Cup Championship, final games, crowded bars on Saint-Laurent. It's always the season for sports, but this last part of July especially. as the Montreal Habs played Tampa Bay, Italy beat England. Teams that played in the international youth lacrosse programs also started their championship season. Lacrosse was created by the Haudenosaunee peoples, who still lead in that sport today. For example, the Mohawk Nation in Akwesasne makes a bulk of the country's supply of traditional lacrosse sticks. Earlier this month, the Iroquois Nationals lacrosse team played in the championships for the Youth World Series. The games were played on schedule a couple weeks ago, but something else happened. The Iroquois Nationals team reportedly went to these World Series games, and some of the players were harassed. The team was short on details in a statement that they posted 3 days ago about what happened, but said they weren't going to be part of those World Series games going forward until their disrespectful treatment was addressed by the World Series organization and in public. The following day, the World Series for Youth Lacrosse put out a statement in response. They say all are welcome at their games and that harassment is unacceptable. And their statement acknowledges that the game was created by those who have been and still are discriminated against on the field. The next games are at the end of July. Podcaster and academic Pam Pallmatter spoke with the Iroquois National Lacrosse team back in September of 2020 on her show, the Warrior Life Podcast. We're going to listen in for the hour. In the meantime, the Nationals team will continue to abstain from being a part of the Youth World Series games for lacrosse until public and concrete action is made. For now. We'll see you at the top of the hour with some local news you can use.
Welcome back, Warriors. Kwe Tansei Sego Ani Buju. Kwe Nindeluizi Pam Pometer, and I am the host of this show, The Warrior Life. This podcast is a show about living the warrior life, a lifestyle that focuses on decolonizing our minds, bodies, and spirits, while at the same time revitalizing our cultures, traditions, practices, and governments. It's also about asserting, living, and defending our sovereignty all over Turtle Island. And we defend our sovereignty in many different ways. It could be on the ground, protecting our lands and waters. It could be in our communities, teaching languages and cultures, or engaging in some of our traditional sports, like lacrosse, the creator's game. And today I am super pumped to have with us actual lacrosse players from the one and only Iroquois Nationals lacrosse team. I mean, it's hard to believe. I'm such a huge fan. They are 5-time silver medalists, 2-time bronze medalists, and they truly represent us as Native peoples all over Turtle Island and all over the world. Welcome to the podcast, Randy, Jeremy, and Brendan.
Thanks for having
us. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm so excited. I know that you're all busy and you're all preparing. So I'm wondering, Randy Stotts, if you can maybe start and introduce yourself, your background, your nation.
Yeah. I'm Randy Stotts. I grew up in Six Nations, Ontario. I'm Mohawk from the Turtle Clan. I guess I'll start with lacrosse. Yeah, I started playing lacrosse at a young age. I think I was 3, and you know I've been playing ever since. So it's been a big part of my life, and it's allowed me to do some things that I always dreamed of doing, and continue to do. So that's a little bit about me, and yeah.
That's awesome. Well, it's good to know you're from Six Nations. I'm not that far away from you. So how about you, Brendan Bomberry?
Yeah, my name is Brendan Bomberry. I'm also from Six Nations of the Grand River. I'm Mohawk Nation from Turtle Clan as well. My native name is Gahumagayo, which means old boat. You know, like Randy said, I started playing lacrosse when I was 3 years old. I think, you know, most kids from our reservation, they start that young. And, you know, I think with a lot of sports, kids grow up and they want to be professional athletes. And I think most of us have grown up to, you know, want to play for the Iroquois Nationals. And so, you know, to be a part of this team and to be a part of this change is, you know, it's really a dream come true and such an honor. And, you know, I look forward to it every single day.
That's incredible to start a sport at 3 years old. I mean, that's like a lifelong commitment. And how about you, Jeremy Thompson?
Hello, everyone. My name's Jeremy Thompson. My given traditional name is Gaiakwa Gaihit, which means the sun is leaning. from the Onondaga Nation in upstate New York. You know, just like, just to kind of piggyback off the rest of the Randy and Bomber, lacrosse has, you know, been a gift to us, and it's been, it's kind of, for us, been an opportunity for us to make a career out of ourselves for what we do today. You know, obviously play professional lacrosse, and but on the other side of that, you know, lacrosse has always been, you know, culture standpoint, a tradition behind something that we use as a medicine. And, you know, for me, back in my hometown, we do that every springtime. They have a medicine game for the lacrosse players. And it's basically, in a nutshell, a reminder to remind the players of why this game was sent down here. And basically, this game was sent down to basically go out and put your best effort forth, you know, encourage people around you, and most importantly, you know, go out there and have fun. And, you know, for me, lacrosse has been a vehicle for me to, you know, obviously, as you know, with a lot of Native American communities, education isn't the number one priority, but I can kind of see that in today's society, those tables have started to turn now. So for me, that's where lacrosse, it came from, this culture standpoint, to like playing it as a sport, and then it becoming, realizing that it was a vehicle for me to get an education, to go out and explore the world. And obviously now I've had the opportunity to travel about and, you know, play professional lacrosse, and it's something that I feel fortunate enough because I've had lots of experiences through to the game of lacrosse and met lots of people. So, yeah, I can't speak enough on what lacrosse has done for me. And, you know, every 4 years we have the opportunity to come together as nations, as with the Iroquois Nationals. And it's an honor. It's an honor. It's something special that we hold near and dear because of what our people are all about, and especially what we're fighting for, and what the hurdles that we've had to overcome. And it's been, and that, to me, I just reflect back that just goes to show that's life, and that things happen like that. And it's all about how you overcome those obstacles. And, you know, we're doing a pretty good job, you know, of that. And we're learning that we have a voice, and that we're special, each individual, every one of us, and that voice needs to be heard and to be honored. So yeah, thanks again.
No, I mean, this is like, it's so incredible, and it's so different from other sports in the sense that it actually comes from your own culture. And, you know, I've heard all different Haudenosaunee communities, they have this huge pride in the game of lacrosse, and it's such a part of their identity. And, you know, it's often referred to as the creator's game. Can one of you, or, you know, several of you, talk about what does that mean, that it's, you know, often referred to as the creator's game?
Go ahead, Jer.
Yeah, I'll start this off, and then Randy and Bomber, just piggyback off it, and just whatever comes to mind. But essentially, you know, I mentioned in the beginning, you know, obviously we as religions, as a culture, a way of life, whatever you want to call it, we have a creator / God, wherever you believe in. And essentially, there's a couple different views of why this game was brought down here to our people. There's many different stories from nation to nation, but the story that I know is that the creator used this game as a medicine to entertain, to bring the community together, bring nations together. And obviously, if you read in the history books, it was also used for to settle major war disputes between different communities or different nations. If they couldn't decide on something, they would settle it with a game of lacrosse, because lacrosse, for us, across Indian country, there was many different forms of lacrosse. So obviously we all had something in common. So for us to come together, we would settle it with a game of lacrosse, with something that we knew, which we all knew about, and we all knew how to do. But kind of going back to the story of how I know the story of why, right from the beginning of time, when the creator had sent this game down, was bringing the community together. It's almost kind of like the renewal of when things go back to sleep again in the wintertime. When that winter season comes, things start to go into hibernation, and the plants, you know, some of the animals start to go back. And it's almost like in the springtime when that idea of, you know, you start to see green that comes again, you know, the flowers start to bud again in the trees. it's the same concept. Like I mentioned earlier, lacrosse was a reminder of why this game was sent down here to the people. And one of the ways that we do it back in our community, we gather to, if someone that might be mentally ill or emotionally down, it could come through like a fortune telling that someone might need a lacrosse game done. But in this instance, when we come together in the community in the springtime, it's a renewal to bring the community together to remind the players why we play this game. And it's really, the way I understand it, it's understood that that there's a fire that's made. There's a sacred tobacco that we use that's essentially our connection to the creator up. So obviously there's some speaking that goes on, and that's being told before the game starts. And the way I understand that is that there's a direct communication to letting all the life know around us to come and almost kind of like bring an ear to bring this to your attention and come to this field right now and bring your spirits to this field and what's going on right now. And that's the way I've always kind of understood it. And the creator's three ideas behind that was that we would, you know, go out, put your best effort out, no matter what happens, win or lose. It wasn't about the loss. It's about the idea of going out there and creating this sense of energy within yourself for a much higher purpose, which it could be for that person that might be emotionally down or ill, to lift them up in those spirits. So for me, you know, that mentality is so important when it comes to it, is because, you know, like in the springtime, we use our wooden traditional lacrosse sticks in that game. And, you know, you might get hit on the head or an arm, and it obviously hurts, but it's it comes down to like what your reaction is going to be and how you're going to push forward and kind of reevaluating yourself and thinking, you know, how am I going to overcome this and what am I really here for?
Yeah, and I think going off that, you know, although the game that we play now has changed so much and is much more commercialized, I think that, you know, we still carry that traditional meaning in our mind when we're playing. You know, we carry on. We know that, you know, we're playing for, like Jeremy said, for a much higher purpose, you know, to entertain our creator, our families, and the fans. And, you know, that's medicine right there. You know, although we still do our traditional medicine games, you know, and we continue that mindset going into, you know, a regular game where, you know, obviously wins and losses matter, but at the end of the day, you know, it's more about, you know, how you played the game. You played with heart, you played with passion, you played, you know, as hard as you can. And those are things that, you know, people, you know, stick onto and they like to see. And, you know, that's for all of us, you know, that's medicine right there as well.
For me, I think, you know, just spinning off Bomber here, if you come to a game on the reserve and you see a bunch of different variety of people, you know, old, young, you know, some sick, some healthy, and it's a very emotional game, and you can see, you know, if they're cheering for the hometown team, that they're excited when a big hit happens, or they're happy when a goal is scored, or they're upset if a call isn't made, you know. So I think, you know, the game brings a bunch of different emotions to people, and it allows them to kind of be connected to it through us in a way. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about is playing with a clear mind and a positivity with it, and which basically means to me, I know it means different things to different people, but to me, it's there's a lot of different emotions that go on in a game, and you can get negative or act out pretty quickly. And to keep that positive mind, like Jeremy was talking about, and to keep a level head and understand the bigger purpose behind it is what we are trying to accomplish.
So it's really, you know, in addition to being directly connected to your culture, it also includes all of these teachings that you can use obviously in your everyday life in terms of, you know, all of that, living in a good way and trying your hardest and how you push forward through difficulties. And clearly in all of your different nations, people are engaged in lacrosse in different ways, whether they're actually players or they're there supporting it, or, you know, they're fundraising for it. And you see, I mean, the cutest thing is to see lots of little kids playing lacrosse. Were all of your families really involved in lacrosse? Like, was that your main motivator for getting into lacrosse at such young ages?
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, I grew up watching my uncles and cousins play, you know, for our local junior A team. And that's something I always wanted to do. And the biggest thing I noticed with this whole COVID thing is, you know, my family is, for the start of it, was completely lost. You know, everything was revolved around, you know, the next game, the next practice, but we didn't have that. So it was kind of weird to, you know, live life not knowing, you know, that's how we kind of knew what day it was. You know, we knew, you know, the Six Nations Arrows play on Sunday nights, the Six Nations Chiefs play on Tuesday, Six Nations Junior B Rebels play on Friday. And that's kind of how you knew the days, and that's how you went about your week. And that's something to always look forward to. And I think that, you know, that was something that we really noticed in this whole time, and that's been difficult, and we're looking to get back to that as soon as possible.
For me, I think we're all kind of in the same boat. You know, my dad played, my uncles played, my cousins played. So it's always been around me. And if you drive around here, you know, you'll see kids in the backyard shooting around. So, I mean, you're very susceptible to seeing the game. And it's pretty cool to me to see, you know, generation after generation after generation for decades and hundreds of years, and it's still getting passed down, and it's still strong, and that's something that amazes me, and it's very cool.
Yeah, so like everyone's talking about, lacrosse is kind of, you know, passed down, and it's almost kind of like, I as you guys were talking, I thought about an interesting thing that I knew about, that when we have a special day and one of our and all of our ceremonies, we have lots of ceremonies throughout the year, and we have a special day that we set aside for the children, for them to get their traditional given name. And in that process, when that chief or that faith keeper gives that child that naming process and is going through that name process, it's sitting in a speech that maybe this kid is going to become a good speaker. Maybe he's going to be a good dancer or a good singer. And one of the last things that are said is that maybe he's going to be a good crafty. He's going to craft this game of lacrosse. He's going to be good at it. He's going to be able to do special things with it. So right, as you can kind of see, lacrosse is almost kind of like, it's as a traditional standpoint, cultural spirituality, I guess you want to say it, it's ingrained right in us. And it just happened to be that lacrosse has become a sport for us to kind of take it, to use it as a career. But we've always kind of carried those values, those customs and those values with us. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Easy line to see that this, everything that we believe in and everything that we surround ourselves around through ceremony and culture, you can really see how things are interwoven, interconnected. And I'm learning that now, because I'm at a point in my life right now where we've all kind of became professional lacrosse players, and we obviously evolved into certain parts, but it almost kind of seems like I've mastered or pretty close to mastering the game of lacrosse. So it's like now I'm more focused on obviously evolving into what are they saying in our Latin language and culture. And that kind of takes me to the original story of this game and how it was, the way I understood it, and how, like I said, there's many views and how this story was told from nation to nation. But the way I understand it is that this game was played up in the sky world, up in the heavens, before it was sent down here on earth. And to be honest with everything, the way we view things as a culture is what's going on down here is it was going on up there in the heavens. And to me, I understand that this game has, before it was played here, was played between these animals. How these animals played this game was, it was split up between two teams, between the winged and the four-legged, the ground animals. And you had all these different animals, such as the bear. And you think about the bear, he might not be the quickest. You would obviously think that he's quick and good with his hands. Look, if you think about what a bear specializes, he's good at getting fish out of the water. You look at an eagle, he's unique with his eyes, can oversee views of everything, and you translate into the game of lacrosse. You have all these, to me, it's just funny as I kind of look back and reflect, that's how the game of lacrosse is kind of still being kind of played. It's unique to me to see that you have not one player can do the same as what the other players did. And that's how I kind of conclude it back to. I kind of conclude everything back to that original story, because you have the turtle that could withstand hard blows, or the deer, you know, he's quick on his feet. So as you could see, you would ultimately think back to like, man, all these animals had a specialty. They brought their special, what they were unique at to this game. And they made it, it's essentially all these energies that they brought to this game and brought it and put it out on the field or the floor, whatever you want to call it. And I can still see that today in today's society, and this sport that we play is transcendent into something that that I see from those original teachings. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, clearly the game, not only is it so powerful in its teachings and its origins and important to your culture, but it's also now come to be so important and a sense of pride for different nations all over Turtle Island in Canada and the US that it's like it's considered like the native sport. And so First Nations all over and different Native Americans all over want to also play this sport, to be attached to something that's so important. I mean, how does that make you all feel? You know, like this.
I think it's so amazing to me, because lacrosse isn't where it needs to be. Like, every sport has their energy, it has their importance of where what the important object is of the game. You know, in basketball, it's the basketball, and football, it's the football. But obviously, for me, and I don't know what the history is behind how football was created or how basketball was created or soccer. But I do know about what lacrosse, from the origins of it. And to me, I can't wait until I see that one day where it's going to take it to where it needs to be, to give it the limelight that, you know, professional basketball, the NBA, that NHL, because I think that's unique. I think that's unique to the world to know this. And to me, you know, I hope to see that. And that's my goal in life, is to kind of just bring that to light and to be a part of that. I'm just happy to do my part and to help the next guy beside me prosper, bloom, and whatever the case may be, and to just share my experiences with them. So that way they can see, because they obviously see things different than I would, or they, it goes back to that original story. I always go back to it, because everyone has a uniqueness. You know, everyone's sent here for many different reasons. It's up to you as an individual to find that within yourself, to what are you special at? What are you unique at? And to me, I always go back to that, because I think this is what this is all about, bringing how do we educate 9. Whatever billion people there are in the world. And to me, I think that's one way to do it, through peace, love, friendship, and so forth. And I think that's what it is for me, and kind of what gives me the driving passion for it, to just keep pushing forward. And obviously we have lots of hurdles, and sometimes we want to give up, but it's just like, no, I'm doing the right thing, you know, so.
I think, you know, when we talk about other nations and other tribes and representing them, the first thing I think about is the Iroquois Nationals. And we've been a part of it for quite some time now, and I've been a part of different things where, you know, you're out playing, say, like when we're in Finland or in Denver or just last year in BC, there's different tribes that accept us and that aren't Haudenosaunee, and they want to, you know, embrace us and kind of, they have our support 100%, which is amazing. And that's the thing that I've come to realize, you know, when we put on that jersey, for me, you know, I feel like I'm representing more than just my people. It's more of all Indigenous people across Turtle Island to me, because of the support I felt. And when you see that as a player, you you kind of realize it's much more than lacrosse, you know. Mm-hmm. It's way bigger than that, because we've been a part of some ceremonies, and, you know, it was life-changing for me. And it's something I'll never forget. And so I think that's the cool part that I like to see, is that, you know, we're not just representing us, and learning other cultures along the way is something special.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, the indigenous people of North America, it's indigenous people all over the world. You know, I think being a part of the Iroquois Nationals, we've seen that with, you know, we've had demonstrations from New Zealand, people from New Zealand, indigenous people from New Zealand, Peru, you know, Africa. Everyone wants to share their culture with us, and that's, you know, those are things that, you know, I'll remember from our time with the Iroquois Nationals, is those cultural exchanges and learning, you know, different cultures around the world. You know, I won't really remember, you know, the game so much. Obviously, there's some that are awesome, but, you know, those are the biggest things. And like Brandy said, that's where you realize it's much bigger than lacrosse, and you see that with those exchanges.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible, you know, this strong sense of Native pride around this game, whether you play it or not. I mean, just being a fan, just seeing that, you know it represents Native people. But, you know, for some of the, you know, younger people that listen to this podcast, can you give them a sense of what does it take to be part of a Nationals lacrosse team? Like, what's involved? How much, you know, practice time and travel and, you know, like, what's required to be on such a huge team?
I think it takes a lot of commitment and a lot of sacrifice. And, you know, those are the biggest things. A lot of us live, you know, all over North America, so it's kind of difficult to get together for practice. So, you know, mainly it's on your commitment and what you want to get out of it. So most of all, you know, you're working by yourself, you're doing things to get better, but, you know, and just kind of keeping in contact with your teammates. That, for us, we're much different than, you know, a Canada or US, you know, we all come from the same background, and I think that's what makes us special. And, you know, that's what, you know, it kind of takes. And yeah.
For me, I think when we were growing up, I mean, for myself, I can only speak for myself. I had my stick in my hands a lot, every day after school, sometimes before school, and playing with my brother or cousins or friends, you know, and then you're not even really focusing on anything, you know. You're kind of just out there playing because you love it, and it becomes a passion. And then that passion, you create dreams, and some of those dreams are to go to school, get an education, go play pro, play for the Iroquois Nationals. And then once you start achieving those goals, I think it snowball effects, especially for me. You gain some confidence within yourself, and that passion and love becomes more and more and more. And I think for me, the more I played and the more I got to achieve some things that I wanted to do, it was an amazing feeling. And it really started in the backyard, just messing around and playing, you know, fun.
I think lacrosse, like I mentioned earlier, lacrosse, the important tool to lacrosse is the lacrosse stick. I say that because, like Randy said, you don't put that stick down. You become so obsessed. It becomes like your best friend. It almost seems like you sleep with it. You put it near your bed. You do all these things with it. You want to take it everywhere, and it becomes an obsession with love, compassion, and all these things. And you just become so connected. And I think that's the power behind sports. I can say, I can make this more broader, but to be more specific, the game of lacrosse, it has that spirit behind it, and that those ancestors that have played it, you know, before us. I think it's just all about that energy that's kind of and where it comes from, and how we're kind of drawn to it, and how people, you know, become, you know, so infatuated about the game of lacrosse. But in the end, I kind of find that it's all about, you know, through hard work, sacrificing, and just having fun with it, I think, is the most important key to it. And having a balance in life, just continuing to willing to want to be learned, be an open ear. I know one thing that I remember I realized when I was younger was I always felt like, or just from what I remember, I felt like I was the kid that was always wanted to be next to my dad. And I always kind of wanted to grow up fast. It's almost like I imagined myself as my father and all the people that were around him because I looked up to them. And I think that's the thing that it's important to be, a role model and to set a good example, because for me, that was who the people I looked up to and I thought was cool. Like I would want to be in the locker rooms, you know, want to be on a bench. But obviously it just becomes so hard where you want to do everything that you're, whoever that person is for you in this game of lacrosse. It's just, it's kind of hard to explain, but it's also, I think you get the picture of how important it is to us and how infectious, how much in love we become with this game and with the stick specifically, because we don't let it down. And that's kind of what got me to where I am today. And so.
It's funny you say that because, my dad plays in old timers. Well, he used to, he doesn't play anymore. And you go out there and you see them, playing and it's not for real, they're just out there having fun and, getting in the locker room and hanging out with them, that's cool. Or even, for me when I was younger, being a ball boy for the Arrows, I was a ball boy when Jeremy was on the team, So that's how much, when you're a kid, you love the game so much, you want to be around it and kind of be a part of it. And I think, he's talking about, those role models that are put in your life. For me, you look up to that and you want to try to aspire and get there.
Yeah,
it's funny.
That's awesome. I mean, just to know that it's also very much tied to family and, memories that you have as a kid and seeing your family playing and things like that. And, for me, I've been following the Iroquois Nationals and, I always see the strong symbolism. You've got the dark purple and the white, you think of the wampum belts from, the Iroquois and, the whole history behind it. But I recently noticed on Twitter that the colors have changed from purple and white to green. And I'm wondering if you can talk about what's going on there.
Yeah, so Team Ireland has recently decided to step away from the World Games happening in Birmingham, Alabama. They gave up their spot so that we could be a part of the games. And that was, a couple days ago, and that's something was a pretty crazy thing for us. We want everyone to be able to play the game. We never expected anyone to, drop out for us. But, and I think it just speaks to the friendship that we've made with, the Irish people. I think it goes back to the Irish famine when the Navajo Nation donated, I think it was $180 to help support them. And then recently during COVID, the Irish repaid the Navajo Nation by donating, I think it was $1.8 million to, help fight COVID. And, this is just another step in the friendship. It's a tremendous honor. And for them to do that speaks a lot to their character and, it shows how great of people they are. And, it's just been an awesome feeling.
So can one of you explain why did Ireland have to do that in the first place? Why weren't you a part of the World Games that were going to be happening in Birmingham?
Randy,
do you want me? Okay. So the World Lacrosse, we're supposed to qualify in 2018 for a position in the 2020 World Games. And the criteria was that you had to place in the top 8 teams and we came 3rd place. And so, that's as far as the criteria went on paper. And they didn't really say what the really issue was with it. They said that the Olympic Committee had different set of rules, and then the IOC had, or there was a bunch of just going back and forth on pointing the finger a little bit. And then recently the World Games created a new criteria, trying to allow us back in the games, which is still unknown a little bit, but it was just a little fishy, you know, with everything. And I think now we're on the right track. I know, like Bomber said, you know, that shows a lot to Ireland's character on doing that. You know, that's a big step, and for their athletes and their program to do that. So yeah, that was kind of what happened with that. And you know, I don't really, you got anything to add on that?
Yeah, I think just to add on to, I think this just goes to add on to kind of what Randy said. I think it just boils down to doing the right thing. And I think a lot of people, where I want to go with this is everything that we fight for as Indigenous people, not just on Turtle Island, but just the world. And it really boils down to this systemic system that we all live in. And to me, I feel like it's important to bring this up because it's kind of like how I mentioned in the beginning, how everything's intertwined, how everything kind of like affects something else down the road. And I think really what this kind of boils down to is, you know, basically, you know, the whole passport issue. Honoring our rights and obviously, you know, that with our history with the United States and so forth with European first contact. Like I said, I don't want to get into it too much because I only know a small bit about it. But to me, it's something that I feel I want to kind of just, you know, briefly kind of speak on it and to kind of just speak what I do know. And to me, I think it kind of boils down to this domination of this is the system that we live in and feeling like someone's superior to another and that they can feel like they can just make rules up as they go and it not consider this group when it comes down to not being all inclusive. And so to me, yeah, that's in a nutshell for me. Again, I don't want to speak too much on it, but again, I felt like that had to be voiced, you know. So
if you look at the history too, right, we got like Native peoples got our culture ripped away from us, basically, you know, which wasn't by our choice, and getting put on reservations was not also our choice, you know, and to still see this systemic racism still happening, you know, it wasn't our choice not to be included in that too. So it's pretty. I don't know what it's just disrupting to see that it's still kind of continuing, but hopefully.
Yeah. Bottom line is I'm just happy. It holds, like you said, it gives us hope that the Irish, you know, done the right thing. They had it in their heart to do the right thing. And that's called being in your truth and speaking the truth and putting that by action. And to me, that's like Randy and Bomber said, it shows about what their character is all about. And to me, that's where we need to hit as far as, you know, peoples, as far as religions, cultures, to come together and to share and prosper and to grow and whatever that may be, you know what I mean? So.
I also think it speaks really well to the Haudenosaunee and your characteristics. I mean, traditionally you were, you know, known as warriors, but also known as really strategic negotiators and diplomats and relationship builders. And, you know, the focus being on the great law of peace and forming good relationships. And, you know, your team has always had an awesome reputation for building these relationships. And, you know, when I saw the color change to green in honor of, you know, Ireland making this sacrifice, I started following them. And I noticed that they were all saying that it wasn't even a question, that the decision was unanimous, and that they wouldn't even think twice about giving up their spot for the Iroquois Nationals because they wouldn't even have the game were it not for the Iroquois, and that they have just this high respect for the culture and the game itself and for you as a team. And I think that really speaks well to all of you as a team and the relationships that you've built all around the world. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Absolutely. I think it just speaks to what our people were all about as far as, you know, before there was European contact. You know, we invited those people in when they first had come to the shores on the eastern shore. Obviously, when you read throughout history, that's what our people were all about. We're all about, we had that heart and caring and compassion for a human soul, for, you know, people that walked about and that needed a place, needed food, a place to stay. We would welcome them in and nurture them and help them, whatever the case may be. And obviously you can see where that kind of led to with colonialism, and to how it kind of is a major factor into everything. It lives within everything from what I'm coming to learn. And that, but also you have people out there that do have that good sense of heart in them, because I feel like it's not different cults, different races. We have indigenous people that are from many different cultures. And they, like I said, I'm not speaking to all people, but like, I'm just speaking to that system, the people mm-hmm. that are part of that system of domination, are it's the stuff that we need to get rid of. But to what we're speaking about, I feel like, you know, the act on the Irish, Ireland, like I said, it speaks volumes. And it, like you said, we can't thank them enough for their actions. And I can only look that the future is bright in that spot. So.
Yeah, it's something that we're all really celebrating, because, you know, we saw the buildup to it about, you know, how do we support, how do we get you to these world games? And now that it's happening, like, what happens next? What do you have to do? Do you have like increased numbers of practices? Like, what's the next steps to prepare for those world games?
We'll have to see once the COVID restrictions, lift. You know, there's a lot of us that are on the side of the border. So to get together, it would require, you know, maybe if it's in Onondaga, that most people have to travel across the border. But when they come back, it's a 14-day quarantine. So I think that's something we'll probably look at. Maybe I'm assuming we'll get together again next summer. But like I said before, it's mostly on yourself to kind of commit to that. And you're by yourself for the most part, and kind of, you know, getting ready for those games, because these games happen every 4 years. So we're not together all that much, maybe four times, before the year leading up. But once the year hits and where you start preparing, we get together a lot more. So I'm assuming next summer, 2021, we'll be getting together a decent amount to, get ready for those games.
Awesome. So before I let you guys go, you have so many fans. What can we all do to help support you and your team between now and then?
I think for me, I never realized how powerful social media is. And I was always kind of timid to speak my mind and put myself out there, I guess. And I think just having support on that front and making people aware of facts and the truth of what we deal with as people. And I think that's very important to me. And one big thing that will help us continue to jump over these hurdles.
Yeah, I think just to add on to that, I think the Iroquois Nationals has taken a step for the better as far as an organization. So I would definitely stay tuned to anything as far as if it comes to financials. But I think just like Randy said, as far as the social media has been such a huge mover for lots of people throughout the world. And it's been huge for us, and we're learning more and more about it. But as far as an organization, I would just stay more tuned, because we're kind of elevating ourselves as far as, you know, having a players committee and, just kind of helping each other out as far as the Iroquois Nationals board and the players community, just trying to evolve and to just try to make things better on all fronts as far as, like, you know, where we need to be in the future to prepare for the next games, or whether if it's, fundraising or whatever the case may be. I would stay tuned to our social medias on the Iroquois Nationals page.
Yeah, and I think another thing is to, you know, have those conversations with people that might not know, you know, kind of educate them and, you know, help them understand. I know there's still people out there that really don't understand, you know, why we, you know, why it was such a big deal for us to get in and, you know, for us to be a part of that. And I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they can help with the conversation. I think, like I said before, and I've still seen comments on, you know, social media saying, you know, why, like, you know, why is it such a big deal that they're there? I think just having those conversations, the more people that we can educate, the better. And that's going to be, you know, the best thing going forward.
Well, definitely. And I'm glad that it's good news. I'm glad that it, you know, that you're all going, and we all need some good news, especially, you know, during this pandemic. And, you know, Niao, and to all of you for taking the time to help educate the rest of us on, you know, not just the game itself, but its importance to your culture and what it means, and, you know, how significant that this sacrifice is from Ireland. And I know we have lots of exciting things coming up. We're going to be, stay tuned to your social media. We're huge fans. We're all rooting for you. And I'll make sure, like, for the listeners, that I'll post links to the Iroquois Nationals website. And you also have, I believe you have a donation page where we can help support the team. And I'll post that link there. And to all the listeners, please share this podcast. Please talk to people about this. Use your influence. Use your connections. Use social media to help educate people and push to make sure that these aren't ever issues again, and that we're always supporting our Native peoples in all of their endeavors. Thank you so much for taking all of this time right now, especially such a busy time, to help educate us. This is really what it means. To be warriors, to be nations, to live our, you know, live out our sovereignty and our cultures. I really appreciate it. And good luck for you moving forward. We're going to be following you, all of you.
Yeah. Niao for having us.
Yeah, Niao, thank you. And Niao for choosing us.
Welcome back to CKUT. This is Off the Hour, and I am Sarah Jesmer. You are just listening to a September 2020 conversation between Pam Palmetter and the Iroquois National Lacrosse Team. The team is mid-season for the Youth World Series games and put out a statement this week that their team was discriminated against during the July games, but they're short on details at the moment. They're abstaining from being part of future World Series games until what happened earlier this month at those World Series games is addressed publicly by the organization. You can find the rest of this podcast and, as of this week, all 100 Warrior Life shows at pampalmatter.com. That's PAMPALMATR.com. You can find more news about the lacrosse team on their Instagram page, Iroquois Nationals Official. You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM.
And, as always, we'll leave you with some news that you can use. The Quebec construction holiday begins this weekend and lasts for 2 weeks. There will be more construction workers on the road until August 1st, and the province wants vacationers to be reminded to be extra vigilant and safe while traveling Quebec's highways this holiday. And the comedy show Just for Laughs starts their outdoor programming next week from July 26th to the 31st. It'll be a mix of online and 20 in-person shows live from Montreal, New York City, and Los Angeles. Also, every Wednesday for the next 2 months, there'll be a farmer's market at the Musée des Beaux-Arts. The local museum's farmer's stands will be open from 11:30 to 1:30 weekly. You can find out more information on Instagram at MBAMTL. And the Cinéma Sous les Étoiles is going to be in Laurier Park this July and August. These are outdoor movie screenings every Wednesday evening. To find out which movies they are showing and when they are, check out their website, cinemasousletoiles.org. There's also a movie night tonight in Parc Père Marquette at 10 p.m. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
And before you go, here's a sample of Off the Hour next week. Lorraine Carpenter, the editor-in-chief of Cult Montreal, talks local music, closures, and the future of Cult.
Well, I mean, it's really, you know, it's a shame that these things don't exist, but I think that there's always, you know, out of these memories, and, you know, of, you know, reading these magazines and papers and going to these venues and clubs and bars and whatnot, I mean, you know, like a piece of that will continue, because eventually there'll be new things. And, you know, like in the same way that we hope that we filled kind of a void that the mirror left with what we do, you know, there'll be people who will open, you know, new venues at some point. Whether they will be the same or have the same kind of importance, I'm sure that they'll end up being, you know, as important to younger people who are kind of experiencing that stuff for the first time. I think one of the weird things that the pandemic is doing is, cementing it like an appreciation for the things that we currently can't do. And, you know, hopefully there will be even more participation and more willingness to go out. And hopefully it won't just be like this novelty thing, like, oh, I'm going to go out every night for 3 months and then, you know, back to Netflix or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that there's kind of a sustained interest, because I was under the impression, and, you know, that the volume of people who are going to shows and going to especially nightclubs and to some degree bars was kind of going down a little bit in terms of the younger demographic generation, whatever. I don't know if that's like a true perception or if that's just something that, like, you know, older people complain about, or I don't know. But I had heard, you know, venue owners and especially like nightclub owners, that going out to nightclubs wasn't necessarily as big of a thing. And, you know, maybe part of that is just evolution. I think a lot of the motivation for going out to nightclubs in the past used to be to meet people, but, you know, maybe Tinder has kind of taken away some of that, that thing. But I don't know, who knows. But I really am looking forward to seeing what, and I've had dreams about this sometimes, about what it's going to be like to go out again and to be around a lot of people and to be like at a festival and all that stuff. So it's going to be interesting. And sorry, I'm getting a bit like off track, but you mentioned like the whole ghost thing. Like, I don't know, it's good that you know, people talk about this stuff, and it should be, I think, motivating, you know, for people to start new things.
Does that relate to journalism too? Everything that you just said?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, if, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point there, like, you know, a Francophone equivalent to what we're doing kind of came up. Because there have been over the years, like, you know, even aside from the big ones like Voir and NDC, there have been Francophone publications that were kind of, you know, presenting an alternative, and or like a website, you know, that is presenting an alternative to, you know, what Narcity is doing, and that type of thing, you know, would probably be good. And I'm actually surprised there isn't, that hasn't really started up yet. But I think that would be good. That would be a good thing. I think that, you know, having local journalism and coverage of local stuff by local people is really important.
The rest of that conversation with Lorraine Carpenter of Cult next week on Off the Hour. See you next Friday.
And that concludes this Friday's edition of Off the Hour, produced by Montreal's Community News Collective. The collective includes Brian Jefferson, Alice Wu, Kate Addison, Joel Salmadal, and Sarah Jesmer. For more information on anything you heard tonight, or if you would like to participate or support news produced by and for the Montreal community, please contact CKUT's Community News Department at 514-448-4041, extension 7000. Or news intern at ckut.ca. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at Off the Hour, or connect with us on Facebook. Just search for us at CKUT. Stay tuned for Cafe coming up next on 90.3 FM.
La vaccination contre la COVID-19 se poursuit partout au Québec. L'effet combiné des deux doses assure une meilleure efficacité du vaccin, en plus de réduire le risque d'avoir et de transmettre le virus. Vous serez aussi protégé sur une plus longue période. Il est primordial de vous présenter à votre rendez-vous pour la deuxième dose du vaccin, peu importe ce qu'il y a d'autre à votre horaire. La deuxième dose du vaccin est essentielle. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Bonsoir et bienvenue à Café, votre émission d'art et culture du vendredi. Vous êtes sur les ondes de CKUT 93 FM et ici Ève Laurence au micro. Ce soir, je vous présente une émission spéciale toute en musique, mixée par Julie et moi. Vous allez voir que c'est un mix très éclaté qui traverse divers genres musicaux et différentes atmosphères. Parce que nos collègues Esther, Marc-Antoine, Alex et Anthony nous ont donné le défi de réaliser un mix de luxe. Alors, on a exploré la thématique du luxe à notre manière, parfois en faisant référence à la luxure, en la critiquant musicalement, en critiquant l'opulence, mais d'autres fois en adoptant une attitude de luxe pour spinner les chansons qui nous font marcher la tête haute en ces chaudes journées de canicule de juin. Quand je vous dis éclaté, c'est vraiment pas une blague. Vous allez entendre des